All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk. This podcast is made possible by NoCD. NoCD offers effective, affordable, and convenient OCD therapy. NoCD therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention, or ERP therapy, the gold standard treatment for OCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual, live face-to-face video sessions with one of their licensed, specialty-trained therapists, and they accept most major insurance plans. To find out more about NoCD, visit nocd.com. That's nocd.com to book a free 15-minute call. For people in the state of Kentucky, you can go to kentuckyocd.com. That's kentuckyocd.com and book a session with me. So what's up, guys? This is a bit of a different kind of episode. I've written an imaginal exposure for myself that I've recorded, and on the episode, I'm going to listen to it over and over again in order to achieve this kind of prolonged exposure experience. And then I'll work to do it each day afterward in order for my prolonged exposure to then be repetitive prolonged exposures. Some of you might be wondering, well, what's an imaginal exposure as opposed to something like a normal exposure, which is actually called an in vivo, I-N space V-I-V-O, in vivo exposure, meaning real life. So like a real life exposure might be something like engaging in an activity or watching a video, looking at a still frame picture, going to a certain place, being around, I don't know, whatever it might be. It's a situation, but it's a real life situation that is intended to activate your anxiety. Then you're hanging in there prolongedly and repeatedly, of course, while coupling that with stopping compulsion. So that's a good in vivo exposure. This, on the other hand, is what's called an imaginal exposure, in which I've written a narrative, I've written a plot, and that plot starts in real life. It starts in historical reality, which is part of what makes it feel real. So part of the piece of the imaginal is that we're wanting to start in historical reality, and that at some point in the narrative, it morphs into an imaginary future. And that imaginary future has a plot that twists and turns into and includes your deepest fear. You might call this the core fear. So you'll see my core fear coming out in this particular narrative. Of course, there's lots and lots of detail that's also included in the narrative, which aids in the process of activating the anxiety, and again, kind of feeling real. So just in case some of you feel a little bit lost or don't really know what's going on, that's what an imaginal exposure is. And that's what I'm going to be doing in this episode. So my anxiety is probably around, I don't know, a 50 or a 55 in anticipation of doing the exposure. My guess is it's going to go up, particularly around 4:45. That is to say 4 minutes and 45 seconds in, because that's when the story turns, I don't know what you'd say, like fictitious or whatever. It leaves historical reality and it goes into this sort of imaginary plot. And really, that's the beginning, if you will, of the exposure. So my goal is going to be to listen to it over and over again and demonstrate for you the idea of prolonged and repetitive exposures, obviously while coupling that with stopping compulsions. So I'm noticing that my leg is bouncing a little bit. I'm just generally quite nervous this is a tough exposure. So anyways, here we go.
I began experiencing OCD many years ago when I was still 7 or 8 years old. I had emetophobic features that would eventually fade to the background of what remained of an anxiety system. One of the things that made the fear so strong was the possibility that they could be realized. people would reassure me that my thoughts were irrational and that I shouldn't worry about them. But I always knew that anything's possible and even unlikely fears could be realized under the right or wrong circumstances.
Not noticing any compulsions.
Older, this realization kept my compulsions going and the anxiety that they caused strong. I eventually met a really beautiful woman. She was a psychologist and a serious professional.
My anxiety is creeping up a bit.
And had a smile that would always
hard to say where it is.
Never in my
probably
life
a 55.
So understood and safe and horny. It seemed that in a very short time, she became the best friend I'd ever had. I could tell her anything. I shared everything. No one had ever known me better. She's so perfect, I thought. Beautiful and sexy. Fun and smart. Everything was stimulating.
So I'm definitely having intrusive thoughts right now relative to where I know the story's going to go. And that maybe these intrusive thoughts are reflective of reality.
Literally, there was not even enough time in the day for me to spend with her.
No compulsions.
Our connection together was just perfect. Months passed, and eventually, I asked her to marry me. She said yes. In the spring of 2017, we got married by a beautiful lake in the mountains. There's no word that could describe our life together. She made me feel like such a man, strong and brave, like there was nothing I couldn't do. I could take on the world if I had to, and win, as far as she could tell. But over time, I noticed that I began to subtly wonder if she really meant it when she told me, "I think you can do anything." One night, we were up late talking. She told me stories about people she'd met in college while she was out drinking with one of her good friends. One of the stories was about this guy she had met and made out with at a bar. It was whatever, but for some reason it was really hard for me to hear about. So I asked her a few questions about this guy and about any other guy she'd kissed or made out with or done anything else with. I heard about fall parties in northern Michigan, drinking with friends around bonfires, and eventually we ended up talking about another guy she had dated for a while. I couldn't help but wonder if there were guys that she hadn't told me about and if she still thought of any of them. Has she been totally honest with me, I thought. I started to have these intrusive thoughts and unwanted images of her hooking up with guys at parties and bars. In my mind, I could see that beautiful smile. Only she wasn't smiling at me. She was smiling at another guy. He had captured her attention, maybe even her heart. She wanted to give everything to him. And I feared and I ruminated that maybe there was someone else somewhere to whom she had. One day, the thought occurred to me, what if she not only hasn't been honest with me about her past, what if she's not being honest with me about the present? What if...
anxiety is around a 40
she's cheating on
right
me
now.
Once again, I could see the images in my mind.
They I'm kind of making a fist with my toes, so I'll try and
was
stop doing that.
To see somebody else?
Just keep listening.
Has she been so excited to see me? I shared my fears with her, and she, of course, reassured me. I would never hurt you. And that would feel a little bit better, but the worries would eventually return. Whenever she was late getting home from work, or anytime I'd see her texting.
I'm sort of remembering times that she's told me that, so I'm going to try and stay present in the moment, not go back and remember. Just stay here, right here in this moment. Listen.
Reassuring myself would definitively tell me anything. She would sweetly offer, "Do you want to go through my phone?" I would decline anyway, I would reason to myself.
Similar stuff, remembering what she said. Try and stay present in the moment. Focus on the plot.
Maybe she wasn't. I was forced to face it.
Relax my toes.
And there was nothing that I could do.
Just listen.
So I resolved to stop asking for reassurance, to stop reassuring myself, and to stop ruminating as best as I could. I knew, as an anxiety disorders therapist, that my condition was really a behavior problem. I needed to identify and stop compulsions, to tolerate my thoughts and the anxiety that they caused, and in order to achieve symptom reduction, I needed to focus on stopping my behaviors. So I really worked at it and slowly got better and better at stuff.
Yeah, anxiety is coming down.
I noticed that my anxiety wasn't as high. And
maybe like a 35 right now.
I was feeling better. I mean, sometimes she would still come home late and spend time.
Maybe
on
even
phone,
a 30.
I wasn't bothered by it like I had been. It just sort of rolled off my back. Things were good. We were happy. But one day, I was passing by the kitchen table.
So this is where the plot turns into an imaginal exposure. It leaves historical reality.
Craig, in her text box, I thought, Craig, who's that? I thought for a second, but then moved on. Maybe, maybe not.
Anxiety's going back up.
A few days later, I heard her on the phone. Now, she's a psychologist, so she talks to people for a living. But I was pretty
50
sure
or 55.
Craig. And the conversation sounded kind of personal. So I listened. I began hearing that sexy tone. She talked to him like she would talk to me. She seemed to think the world of him.
He had somehow fist with my toes.
Her attention, and it sounded like
relax my toes.
I wasn't sure what to say. I had asked her about this so many times. I had sought reassurance. I had ruminated. I had been terrified of this moment for so long. The night came and went, and I went to sleep. But then I woke up late that night or early the next morning, and I saw the bathroom light on. I started to walk toward the bathroom and heard her voice. It sounded like she was on the phone with Craig again. So I listened. She shared with him how attracted she was to him, how much she couldn't wait until the next time. The next time, I thought. It sounded like they had hooked up at work or something, but I wasn't sure if that's what they were talking about. And then she asked him, do you think anybody knows that we have sex in your office during lunch?
Anxiety's probably a 60.
Moaned as if to communicate
be a 65.
How good the sex was. She talked about his dick and his muscles like she had never been so excited
maybe
and satisfied
a 70.
By another man. And then it was silent for a long time. I eventually figured out that he was telling her about how sexy
I can feel the
was.
Anxiety in my
she
stomach.
The call telling him that she couldn't
just stay focused in the moment. Keep doing the
and
exposure.
That something special planned. As the door opened, she and I came face to face. I looked at my wife and she knew that I had heard at least part of her conversation with the man on the phone. I almost fell over as we stood there in a thick and momentary silence. Eventually, I asked, what's going on? And added, who's Craig? She said, he's a coworker. And started to walk past me. I said, stop, wait, and added sharply, but you don't talk to your coworkers about their dicks. And I repeated, what's going on? Who's Craig? She responded slowly and quietly, I'm sorry. She began to share with me that Craig is a man that she had met at work last year. He works downstairs in another department, and she continued, I've started
anxiety's around 70 still.
She revealed that he's exciting and hot and sexually gives her just what she wants. She said, our time together is secret and erotic. Our conversation finally came to an end, and she left me standing alone and broken in front of the bathroom door. I had been lied to over and over for years, and all the while my worries and intrusive thoughts had been my gut telling me that there was something to be watching out for. In an instant, my life changed, along with the belief that I had somehow been someone very special, even if only to her. We divorced shortly thereafter, and she continued her relationship with Craig. For the remainder of my life, I was alone in a one-bedroom apartment, and I knew all too well that I wasn't enough to truly satisfy a woman. It had all just been wishful thinking. If only I had not worked to stop my compulsions, but listened to my gut. If only I had asked her more about who she was talking to and where she'd been. If only I had worked harder to be the man that deserved her, maybe this wouldn't have happened.
Okay, so anxiety is probably a little lower, maybe a 55, something like that. Gonna go back and do it again.
I began experiencing OCD many years ago when I was still 7 or 8 years old. I had emetophobic features that would eventually fade to the background of what remained of an anxiety system.
The anxiety seems, I don't know, noticeably lower right now. No compulsions.
And that I shouldn't worry about.
And I'm not really having a lot of thoughts either. Just sort of listening along.
Even unlikely fears could be realized under the right or wrong circumstances. I eventually met a really beautiful woman. She was a psychologist and a serious professional. She was fun and pretty and had a smile that would always brighten my soul. Never in my life had I felt so understood and safe and horny. It seemed that in a very short time, she became the best friend I'd ever had. I could tell her anything. I shared everything. No one had ever known me better. She's so perfect.
Sort of noticing my mind is wandering a bit, so I'm bringing it back to the audio, listening to the story.
Conversations to her figure. Damn, dude, she was hot. And it didn't take long. We got really serious. We spent all our time together, even at work. Things were steamy and fun. I couldn't get enough. Literally, there was not even enough time in the day for me to spend with her. Our connection.
So I'm going to fast forward to 4:45, where it gets pretty anxiety-producing, because it's just not really doing a lot for me right here. Okay, here we go.
It just sort of rolled off my back. Things were good. We were happy. But one day, I was passing by the kitchen table where she had left her phone for a second. And the screen was still
active. Yeah, anxiety's going back up.
I saw the name Craig in her text box. I thought, Craig? Who's that? I thought for a second, but then moved on. Maybe, maybe not, man. Who knows? A few days later, I heard her on the phone. Now, she's a psychologist, so she talks to people for a living. but I was pretty sure I heard that name again, Craig, and the conversation sounded kind of personal, so I listened. I began hearing that sexy tone. She talked to him like she would talk to me. She seemed to think the world of him.
Yeah, this is the bear cage, man. I'm in the middle of it here. Like this is it.
I wasn't sure what to say. I had asked her about
this. Yeah, anxiety's at a 60.
I had sought reassurance. I had ruminated. I had been terrified of this moment for so long. The night came and went, and I went to sleep. But then I woke up late that night or early the next morning, and I saw the bathroom light on. I started to walk toward the bathroom and heard her voice. It sounded like she was on the phone with Craig again. So I listened. She shared with him how attracted she was to him, how much she couldn't wait until the next time. The next time, I thought. It sounded like they had hooked up at work or something, but I wasn't sure if that's what they
were. Hard to know where the anxiety is. I want to say it's like a 65, but it's hard to say. It's lower than it was the last time.
She laughed and moaned as if to communicate to him how good the sex was. She talked about his dick and his muscles like she had never been so excited and satisfied by another.
Yeah, thoughts are happening like this is going to happen. This is happening to you.
Eventually figured out that he was telling her
or it's happening to me kind of.
She ended the call telling him that she couldn't wait.
Thoughts are kind of coming and going though. Not really sticking in.
As the door opened, she and I came face to face.
No compulsions.
She knew that I had heard at least part of her conversation with the man on the phone. I almost fell over as we stood there in a thick and momentary silence. Eventually, I asked, "What's going on?" and added, "Who's Craig?" She said, "He's a coworker," and started to walk past me. I said, "Stop, wait," and added sharply, "But you don't talk to your coworkers about their dicks." And I repeated, "What's going on? Who's Craig?" She responded slowly and quietly, "I'm sorry." She began to share with me that
I don't know, anxiety around 40, I think. Again, it's hard to say, but it's lower than it was.
She continued, "I've started to fall in love with him." She revealed that he's exciting and hot and sexually gives her just what she wants.
Yeah, anxiety going back up a little bit, but just tolerating the distress. No compulsions. Just listening, tolerating.
And she left me standing alone and broken in front of the bathroom door. I'd been lied to over and over for years, and all the while my worries and intrusive thoughts had been my gut telling me that there was something to be watching out for. In an instant, my life changed, along with the belief that I had somehow been someone very special, even if only to her. We divorced shortly thereafter, and she continued her relationship with Craig. For the remainder of my life, I was alone in a one-bedroom apartment, and I knew all too well that I wasn't enough to truly satisfy a woman. It had all just been wishful thinking. If only I had not worked to stop my compulsions, but listened to my gut. If only I had asked her more about who she was talking to and where she'd been. If only I had worked harder to be the man that deserved her. Maybe this wouldn't have happened.
All right, so I'm going to go back to 445 again, just because, again, the first piece of it, it's sort of clinically necessary to root the plot in a historical reality that has a way, along with the details of the story, it has a way of making it feel more real and a more sort of powerful exposure. But in terms of that first few minutes, it's less anxiety producing for me. Having listened to it a number of times, it's just not quite as anxiety producing for me. So I'm just fast forwarding. In trauma work, we would call this hot spots. Right, so going to the hardest part and doing the hardest part over and over and over again, just tolerating with no compulsions.
But one day, I was passing by the kitchen table where she had left her phone for a second, and the screen was still active. I saw the name Craig in her text box. I thought, Craig?
Yeah, once again, the anxiety is noticeably lower.
For a second, but
it's hard to say where it is.
Who knows? A few days later, I heard her on the phone.
I don't know, maybe
she's
a 30.
So she talks to people for a living.
Maybe even a 25.
Sure, I heard that name again, Craig. And the conversation sounded kind of personal. So I listened. I began hearing that sexy tone. She talked to him like she would talk to me. She seemed to think the world of him. He had somehow captured her attention, and it sounded like her heart. I was
another
sure
thought.
What to say.
This is probably happening, or maybe this is happening to me.
I had sought reassurance. I had ruminated.
Maybe this is really happening right now.
This moment for so long.
Anxiety still around a 25 or a 30, though. No compulsions.
I woke up
a little bit of tension in my feet. I can feel that, but I'm not doing anything.
I started to walk toward the bathroom and heard her voice. It sounded like she was on the phone with Craig again. So I listened. She shared with him how attracted she was to him, how much she couldn't wait until the next time. The next time, I thought. It sounded like they had hooked up at work or something, but I wasn't sure if that's what they were talking about. And then she asked him, "Do you think anybody knows that we have sex in your office during lunch?" She laughed and moaned as if to communicate to him how good the sex was. She talked about his dick. And
the anxiety went up a little bit.
She had never been so excited and satisfied by another man. And then it was silent for
a long time. No compulsions, just tolerating.
I eventually figured out that he was telling her about how sexy she was. She ended the call telling him that she couldn't wait to see him tomorrow.
Yeah, 40, 45.
And that she had something special planned. As the door opened, she and I came face to face. I looked at my wife and she knew that I had heard at least part of her conversation with the man on the phone. I almost fell over as we stood there in a thick and momentary silence. Eventually, I asked, "What's going on?" and added, "Who's Craig?" She said, "He's a coworker," and started to walk past me. I said, "Stop, wait," and added sharply, "But you don't talk to your coworkers about their dicks." And I repeated, "What's going on? Who's Craig?" She responded slowly and quietly, I'm sorry." She began to share with me that Craig is a man that she had met at work last year. He works downstairs in another department, and she continued,
"Been crossing my ankles. I think that might be a bit of like a guarded behavior for me, so I've uncrossed my ankles."
She said, "Our time together is secret and erotic." Our conversation finally came to an end, and she left me standing alone and broken in front of the bathroom door. I'd been lied to over and over for years, and all the while my worries and intrusive thoughts had been my gut telling me that there was something to be watching out for. In an instant, my life changed, along with the belief that I had somehow been someone very special, even if only to her. We divorced shortly thereafter, and she continued her relationship with Craig. For the remainder of my life, I was alone in a one-bedroom apartment, and I knew all too well that I wasn't enough to truly satisfy a woman. It had all just been wishful thinking. If only I had not worked to stop my compulsions, but listened to my gut. If only I had asked her more about who she was talking to and where she'd been. If only I had worked harder to be the man that deserved her. Maybe this wouldn't have happened.
So in that last iteration, I sort of sat back in my chair, like I say, uncrossed my ankles, tried to relax my hands as best as I could. Some tension in my lower back, but again, it's not something that I'm doing. I just sort of feel it. I still have some burning in my stomach, which feels like an anxiety burn. You know what I'm talking about. That's there. But again, it's noticeably lower than it was. When we first started this, it was, I think it peaked at 70. Now it's peaking around a 40. Maybe I think I said a 45 this last time, maybe a 45. So we'll do it again. We'll go back to 445 again, where that story turns kind of like, nasty, and hit it again.
I was passing by the kitchen table where she had left her phone for a second, and the screen was still active. I saw the name Craig in her text box. I thought, Craig? That.
So you see what I'm talking about, hanging in there a long, long time. A lot of OCDers just don't hang in there long enough. You know, it's just sort of like it gets hard and then, it sucks. And then we're like, this exposure therapy doesn't work. And it's like, no, hang in there. Keep fighting. Keep going. Tolerate. Stop compulsions.
I began hearing that sexy tone. She talked to him like she would talk to me. She seemed to think the world of him. He had somehow captured her attention and it sounded like her heart.
Putting my feet flat on the floor.
Asked her about this so many times.
They were kind of on the heels of my feet, flat on the floor, relax my feet, relax my body.
The night came and went, and I went to sleep. But then I woke up late that night or early the next morning, and I saw the bathroom light on. I started to walk toward the bathroom and heard her voice. It sounded like she was on the phone with Craig again. So I listened. She shared with him how attracted she was to him, how much she couldn't wait until the next time. The next time, I thought. It sounded like they had hooked up at work or something, but I wasn't sure if that's what they were talking about. And then she asked him, "Do you think anybody knows that we have sex in your office during lunch?" She laughed and moaned as
if anxiety up.
To him
how 35, 40
was.
Maybe.
She talked to
Hard
him
to say.
His dick and his muscles like she had never been so excited and satisfied by another man. And then it was silent for a long time. I eventually figured out that he was telling her about how sexy she was. She ended the
this is the really hard section here.
To see him tomorrow, and that she had something special planned. As the door opened, she and I came face to face. I looked at my wife, and she knew that I had heard at least part of her conversation with the man on the phone. I almost fell over as we stood there in a thick and momentary silence. Eventually, I asked, "What's going on?" and added, "Who's Craig?" She said, "He's a coworker," and started to walk past me. I said, "Stop, wait," and added sharply, "But you don't talk to your coworkers about their dicks." And I repeated, "What's going on? Who's Craig?" She responded slowly and quietly, I'm sorry." She began to share with me that Craig is a man that she had met at work last year. "He works downstairs in another department, and," she continued, "I've started to fall in love with him." She revealed that he's exciting and hot and sexually gives her just what she wants. She said, "Our time together is secret and erotic." Our conversation finally came to an end, and she left me standing alone and broken in front of the bathroom door. I had been lied to over and over for years, and all the while...
The anxiety is pretty low, so I've stopped it. I'm going to go back again to 4:45. I don't know where the anxiety is. It feels like it's around 20. I don't know, man. OCD is getting lazy on me, little bitch. It's just getting easier, so do it again.
But one day, I was passing by the kitchen table where she had left her phone for a second, and the screen was still active. I saw the name Craig in her text box. I thought, "Craig? Who's that?" I thought for a second, but then moved on. Maybe, maybe not, man. Who knows? A few days later, I heard her on the phone. Now, she's a psychologist, so she talks to people for a living. But I was pretty sure I heard that name again, Craig. And the conversation sounded kind of personal, so I listened. I began hearing that sexy tone. She talked to him like she would talk to me. She seemed to think the world of him. He had somehow captured her attention, and it sounded like her heart. I wasn't sure what to say. I had asked her about this so many times. I had sought reassurance. I had ruminated.
She's kind of leaning forward again, so I'm leaning back, trying to relax my body.
The night came and went, and I went to sleep. But then I woke up late that night or early the next morning, and I saw the bathroom light on. I started to walk
back on my heels, trying to put my feet flat on the floor.
It sounded like she was on the phone with Craig again. So I listened. She shared with him how attracted she was to him and how much she couldn't wait until the next time. The next time, I thought. It sounded like they had hooked up at work or something, but I wasn't sure if that's what they were talking about. And then she asked him, "Do you think anybody knows that we have sex in your office during lunch?" She laughed and moaned as if to communicate to him how good the sex was. She talked about his dick and his muscles like she had never been so excited and satisfied by another man. And then it was silent for a long time. I eventually figured out that he was telling her about how sexy she was. She ended the call telling him that she couldn't wait to see him tomorrow, and that she had something special planned. As the door opened, she and I came face to face. I looked at my wife, and she knew that I had heard at least part of her conversation with the man on the phone. I almost fell over as we stood there in a thick and momentary silence. Eventually, I asked, "What's going on?" and added, "Who's Craig?" She said, "He's a coworker," and started to walk past me. I said, "Stop, wait," and added sharply, "But you don't talk to your coworkers about their dicks." And I repeated, "What's going on? Who's Craig?" She responded slowly and quietly, I'm sorry." She began to share with me that Craig is a man that she had met at work last year. He works downstairs in another department, and she continued, "I've started to fall in love with him." She revealed that he's exciting and hot and sexually gives her just what she wants. She said, "Our time together is secret and erotic." Our conversation finally came to an end, and she left me standing alone and broken in front of the bathroom door. I had been lied to over and over for years, and all the while my worries and intrusive thoughts had been my gut telling me that there was something to be watching out for. In an instant, my life
changed. Anxiety like a 15 or a 20.
Belief that I had somehow been someone very special, even if only to her. We divorced shortly thereafter, and she continued her relationship with Craig. For the remainder of my life, I was alone in a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, 15 or 20, something like this. Again, the anxiety is just kind of just getting weaker.
But one day, I was passing by the kitchen table where she had left her phone for a second, and the screen was still active. I saw the name Craig in her text box. I thought, "Craig? Who's that?" I thought for a second, but then moved on. Maybe, maybe not, man. Who knows? A few days later, I heard her on the phone. Now, she's a psychologist, so she...
Yeah, it's still dropping. Probably like a...
But I was pretty sure I heard that name again. Craig. And the
I don't know, somewhere between 10 and 15.
So I listened. I began hearing that sexy tone. She talked to him like she would talk to me. She seemed to think the world of him. He had somehow captured her attention, and it sounded like her heart. I wasn't sure what to say. I had asked her about this so many times. I had sought reassurance. I had ruminated. I had been terrified of this moment for so long. The night came and went, and I went to sleep. But then I woke up late that night or early the next morning, and I saw the bathroom light on.
Definitely like a 10 now.
I started to walk toward the bathroom and heard her voice. It sounded like she was on the phone with Craig again. So I listened. She shared with him how attracted she was to him, how much she couldn't wait until the next time. The next time, I thought. It sounded like they had hooked up at work or something, but I wasn't sure if that's what they were talking about. And then she asked him, "Do you think anybody knows that we have sex in your office during lunch?" She laughed and moaned as if to communicate to him how good the sex was. She talked about his dick and his muscles like she had never been so excited
and like
satisfied
15.
By another man. And then it was silent for a long time. I eventually figured out that he was telling her about how sexy she was. She ended the call telling him that she couldn't wait to see him tomorrow and that she had something special planned. As the door opened, she and I came face to face. I looked at my wife and she knew that I had heard at least part of her conversation with the man on the phone. I almost fell over as we stood there in a thick and momentary silence. Eventually, I asked, "What's going on?" and added, "Who's Craig?" She said, "He's a coworker," and started to walk past me. I said, "Stop, wait," and added sharply, "But you don't talk to your coworkers about their dicks." And I repeated, "What's going on?
Who the fuck is Craig?"
She responded slowly and quietly, I'm sorry." She began to share with me that Craig is a man that she had met at work last year. He works downstairs in another department, and she continued, "I've started to fall in love with him." She revealed that he's exciting and hot and sexually gives her just what she wants. She said, "Our time together is secret and erotic."
Yeah, anxiety. Yeah, I don't know. Somewhere between a 15 and a 20.
And she left me standing alone and broken in front of the bathroom door. I'd been lied to.
Kind of leaning forward again, so let me lean back, relax, put my feet flat on the floor again.
Telling me that there was something to be watching out for. In an instant, my life changed, along with the belief that I had somehow.
I noticed my anxiety shifted as soon as I sat back, relaxed, put my feet on the floor. Anxiety seems to drop a little bit immediately, or almost immediately.
Alone in a one-bedroom apartment, and I knew all too well that I wasn't enough to truly satisfy a woman. It had all just been wishful. All right,
going back, 4:45. Here we go. And yeah, anxiety is just, it's just getting weak, man. Just getting weak.
We're happy. But one day, I was passing by the kitchen table where she had left her phone for a second. And the screen
was
still
active. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's like a, somewhere between like a 7 and a 10.
Text box. I thought,
somewhere, yeah, somewhere around 7 or a 10. It's pretty low.
Maybe not, man.
Still no compulsions. Leaning back. Feet flat on the floor, relaxing my feet, relaxing my hands, just sitting back, not guarded, physically not guarded, just relaxing my body, listening.
Sexy tone. She talked to him like she would talk to me. She seemed to think the world of him. He had somehow captured her attention, and it sounded like her heart. I wasn't sure what to say. I had asked her about this so many times. I had sought reassurance. I had ruminated. I had been terrified of this moment for so long. The night came and went, and I went to sleep. But then I woke up late that night or early the next morning, and I saw the bathroom light on. I started to walk toward the bathroom and heard her voice. It sounded like she was on the phone with Craig again. So I listened. She shared with him how attracted she was to him, how much she couldn't wait until the next time. The next time, I thought. It sounded like they had hooked up at work or something. But I wasn't sure if that's what they were talking about. And then she asked him, "Do you think anybody knows that we have sex in your office during lunch?" She laughed.
All right, anxiety up a little bit. Yeah, maybe a 10. Maybe a 10.
She talked about his dick and his muscles like she had never been so excited and satisfied by another man. And then it was silent for a long time. I eventually figured out that he was telling her about how sexy she was. She ended the call telling him that she couldn't wait to see him tomorrow and that she had something special planned. As the door opened, she and I came face to face. I looked at my wife, and she knew that I had heard at least part of her conversation with the man on the phone. I almost fell over as we stood there in a thick and momentary silence. Eventually, I asked, "What's going on?" and added, "Who's Craig?" She said, "He's a coworker," and started to walk past me. I said, "Stop, wait," and added sharply, "But you don't talk to your coworkers about their dicks." And I repeated, "What's going on? Who's Craig?" She responded slowly and quietly, I'm sorry." She began to share with me that Craig is a man that she had met at work last year. "He works downstairs in another department," and she continued, "I've started to fall in love with him." She revealed that he's exciting and hot and sexually gives her just what she wants. She said, "Our time together is secret and erotic." Our conversation finally came to an end, and she left me standing alone and broken in front of the bathroom door. I'd been lied to over and over for
years. Like 10 or 12 here, I guess.
My worries and intrusive thoughts had been my gut telling me that there was something to be watching out for. In an instant, my life changed, along with the belief that...
So I'm noticing I'm leaning forward again. Same thing. The weight is on the heels of my feet.
She continued her relationship with Craig. For the remainder of my life, I was alone in a one-bedroom apartment.
Trying to sit back and relax.
All too well.
Once again.
Things were good. We were happy. But one day, I was passing by the kitchen table where she had left her phone for a second, and the screen was still active. I saw the name Craig in her text box. I thought, Craig? Who's that? I thought for a second, but then moved on. Maybe, maybe not, man. Who knows? A few days later, I heard her on the phone. Now, she's a psychologist, so she talks to people for a living. But I was pretty sure I heard that name again, Craig. And the conversation sounded kind of personal. So I listened. I began hearing that sexy tone. She talked to him like she would talk to me. She seemed to think the world of him. He had somehow captured her attention.
Yeah, I'm just noticing that I'm listening, and there's just a lot less distress. I'm just interacting with the narrative in such a way. It's just not... It's just not really bothering me as much.
Morning, and I saw the bathroom light on. I started to walk toward the bathroom and heard her voice. It sounded like she was on the phone with Craig again. So I listened. She shared with him how attracted she was to him, how much she couldn't wait until the next time. The next time, I thought. It sounded like they had hooked up at work or something, but I wasn't sure if that's what they were talking about. And then she asked him, "Do you think anybody knows that we have sex in your office during lunch?" She laughed and moaned as if to communicate to him how good the sex was. She talked about his dick and his muscles like she had
never
been
so that's the essence of the fear right there. That's the essence.
For a long time, I eventually figured out that he was telling her about how sexy she was. She ended the call telling him that she couldn't wait to see him tomorrow and that she had something special planned. As the door opened, she and I came face to face. I looked at my wife and she knew that I had heard at least part of her conversation with the man on the phone. I almost fell over as we stood there in a thick and momentary silence. Eventually, I asked, "What's going on?" and added, "Who's Craig?" She said, "He's a coworker," and started to walk past me. I said, "Stop, wait," and added sharply, "But you don't talk to your coworkers about their dicks." And I repeated, "What's going on? Who's Craig?" She responded slowly and quietly, I'm sorry." She began to share with me that Craig is a man that she had met at work last year. He works downstairs in another department, and she continued, "I've started to fall in love with him." She revealed that he's exciting and hot and sexually gives her just what she wants. She said, "Our time together is secret and erotic." Our conversation finally came to an end, and she left me standing alone and broken in front of the bathroom door. I had been lied to over and over for years, and all the while my worries...
Anxiety is like a 3, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe a 5, I don't know, somewhere in there.
To be watching out.
Definitely pretty low.
In an instant, my life changed, along with the belief that I had somehow been someone very special, even if only to her. We divorced shortly thereafter, and she continued her relationship with Craig. For the remainder of my life, I was alone in a one-bedroom apartment, and I knew all too well that I wasn't enough to truly satisfy a woman. It had all just been wishful thinking. If only I had not worked to stop my compulsions, but listened to my gut. If only I had asked her more about who she was talking to and where she'd been. If only I had worked harder to be the man that deserved her. Maybe this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, at this point, the anxiety is, it's a 0. There's no real compulsions that I'm that I'm noticing, that I've been noticing. I've been working pretty hard, as you've seen, to identify and stop compulsions. You've seen that I've worked to notice even subtle things like leaning forward, like crossing my ankles, that felt a little bit like I was physically guarding myself. You follow what I'm saying? And so that felt a little bit compulsive. It felt like something that I was doing to try and manage my nervousness a little bit. So then uncrossing my ankles kind of felt like I was opening myself up to vulnerability. I don't mean to get like psychoanalytic on you, but that's kind of how it felt for me. Like the ankle crossing was a way of protecting myself. So I was trying to open up my ankles and not lean forward. Again, that's kind of a guarded behavior. So I was leaning back in the chair, fully relaxing my body and just listening, and then listening over and over and over. So that's the prolonged piece. You see that the exposure went on for probably something like 35 or 36 minutes over and over and over again, particularly focusing on the hotspot piece. Again, it's a misuse of the term. That's more of a trauma exposure term, but the point is going to the hardest part in the story or the narrative and doing that over and over and over and over again. So it's like an 8-minute story, but going through like 3 or 4 minutes of that over and over and over, the hardest 3 or 4 minutes, and making that the crux or the essence of the exposure, because the rest of it just doesn't really, the beginning 4 minutes or whatever it was, and the ending like 30 seconds or 1 minute just didn't really do it for me anymore. Just really wasn't, it was almost like a waste of time, but it was almost like a waste of time. And so I just go back to hit 4:45 again through whatever it was, 7:30, 4:45 to 7:30, 4:45 to 7:30, over and over and over. And watching the anxiety fall as I just tolerate the distress, as I stop the compulsions. And you notice they would subtly happen again. And I think a lot of OCDers find that, where it's like, you're not even paying attention, and all of a sudden, whoops, I'm doing the compulsion again, right? So you have to go back, stop doing that, go back, stop, go. You know, you notice, oh, here it is happening again. I didn't even notice. That's all right. Just stop it and keep going with the exposure. That's all. You know, no harm, no foul. The foul comes when I notice it and I don't stop it. Like, that's the problem. So the ones that happen habitually or without my noticing, you know, that shit happens. So it's about, once you notice you're doing it, okay, now force it to stop and then keep going with the exposure. So you're back to tolerating the distress. And then tomorrow I'll do the same exposure again, right? So now it becomes not just prolonged, but now it's prolonged and repetitive, right? So I'll do the same exposure again for 45 to 60, or until the anxiety drops to zero. Okay. And then the next day I'll do it again. And it'll remain repetitive, 45 to 60, or until I drop to zero in terms of my anxiety, again and again and again. And eventually what I'll find is that the story just doesn't really produce distress for me. And I've tolerated the anxiety. I've tolerated the intrusive thoughts. I've covered a lot of ground with dealing with these intrusive thoughts, rather than trying to seek reassurance from my wife, or rather than trying to somehow reassure myself or ruminate or check or whatever it is, I'm just tolerating. And so when the thoughts come through my mind in the future in real time, they'll just have less of a bite to them, right? Again, like I said, the OCD is getting lazy. It's getting lazy. It's getting weak on me, right? I just keep doing that work, stopping the compulsions. Keep doing the work, stop the compulsions. And again, I think that's what a lot of OCDers do wrong when it comes to exposure therapy, is they either discontinue because the anxiety gets really, really high, or they'll do compulsions through the exposure. And as you know from listening to the podcast, Abramowitz and Jacoby back in 2014 did a couple of studies that like very, very clearly highlighted that's not effective. Right? If you're going to do the exposure, right? Don't cheat yourself. You do the exposure and stop the compulsions, because like if you're doing the exposure and doing compulsions, you're not really doing anything for yourself, only, you know, creating this really uncomfortable situation, again, for no real gain. So stop the compulsions, do the exposure, tolerate the distress, and just keep going. Prolonged repetitive exposures. That's the idea. Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com. If you found the podcast helpful, consider giving it a 5-star rating or subscribing to OCD Straight Talk for structured help with your anxiety or OCD symptoms.